Welcome to the Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. The first hour we'll be talking to Anchor. The second hour, unfortunately, our private investigator, who normally comes in on the first Wednesday of the month, is doing some surveillance work. I'd love to hear all about what he's doing, but fortunately he can't be with us, so we'll just play some music in the second hour. But first of all, it's my great pleasure to introduce both Erin, who works with Anchor, and she's the homelessness support worker, and we'll also be talking to Lauren, and she's the partnership manager. So we'll find out a bit about what they do. But first of all, welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. There's no good nodding your head. You've got to speak. nodding the head doesn't do much good for radio. Look, first of all, I don't know who's going to talk about this first of all, but Homelessness Week is coming up. When is it?
So it goes from August 7th through to the 12th or the 13th,
yeah. 7th to the
Sunday
13th.
The 13th.
So it's basically next week, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
Righto. First of all, before we get into all about what Anchor are doing for homelessness, let's just talk a little bit about it first of all. Now, there's a great perception, or I don't say it certainly changed, but there always was a perception that the homeless people were generally a pack of bums, and I don't mean that with disrespectful. They were obviously older guys who'd either for some reason got on the booze and lost their families and all that, and they were living under bridges. But that's not the truth anymore, is it?
No.
Someone speak to me.
No, not at all. In fact, we're seeing a lot more families come through at the moment, and an interesting new cohort that's starting to emerge is actually like the working homeless. So families that actually are working and have an income for some reason or another due to the rental crisis are actually unable to secure private rentals. Women over 55, homelessness looks, a lot different now than old
right.
Bums.
Let me just take, I don't mean bums, but that's just the way they were spoken about. All right, you just spoke about women over 55. I'm a bit intrigued as if we could just tease that out a bit. Why all of a sudden is a lady at 55 find herself homeless?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we're finding a lot of it comes down to family breakdown, some family violence, breakup in the marriage, family problems, things like that.
But pardon me, are we saying that the guys tend to come out better? Like, do they somehow manage to keep the house, or what? Why? I'm just not sure why all of a sudden the 55-year-olds. I can understand that they don't have anywhere near the superannuation that a guy has, because often they've stopped working to have the children.
Sometimes
when they try to get back in, they've been in the workforce. COVID came along, and a lot of that age group tended to get put out of work. So I'm just trying to find out a little bit as to why it's more so the ladies than the men over 55.
Yeah, well, a lot of the time, the house is in the man's name as well. For that reason, she stayed at home and looked after the kids and did the child rearing. It's just the way that it ends up.
Is it sometimes that the guy has, way back, made sure that if anything goes wrong, he gets the house and all the chattels rather than the lady?
I might take this one, Alan. I think what we're seeing move through the organisation, particularly in the last 4 or 5 years, is that women over 55, the children they're raised, they're potentially, adults and moving away from the home. And with more education and more community response, more services available to women who have lived in a violent situation at home and who might have stayed due to the kids, with the kids moving off, it gives them an opportunity potentially then to see what else is out there. Unfortunately, though, what comes with staying home and raising kids is a lack of career. and a lack of their own finances. So whilst there are a number of services that are out there designed to support and to help women who fall into this situation, who have lived in this situation, we are finding more and more women, particularly through the Yarra Ranges, the Outer Eastern area, coming into our organisation and other organisations similar to ours, with nowhere to go because they don't have a career, therefore can't afford to continue to pay the mortgage to stay in the family home.
Right. Well, I'm keen not to just do stereotype or get just involved just talking about that one age group. It just seems to me that is probably one of the, well, 10 years ago, it never sort of got spoken about.
No, that's right.
And I guess the other issue probably, and I'll just throw this in, then we need to take a break, is it maybe that they're very often only earning, say, three quarters or half the salary that the husband, the ex-husband is, and so therefore he's got more income to do what he wants, and they just haven't got that sort of income?
Yeah, that's right. That's a whole nother issue. You don't want to get us started on. But no, you're absolutely right. The cost of housing at the moment is through the roof, more so in the Yarra Valley than I reckon anywhere else.
Right.
And it's impossible to support a home and pay a mortgage, particularly when it's quite large, on one income, particularly for
women. And the other thing is even the rents are starting to grow up, are they?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, just before we take a break, so we've talked about the ladies over 55. What, in the people that Anchor are seeing, what sort of age group are you sort of seeing from the lowest to what would you would say the highest?
So we have children presenting with their parents, obviously. So that's as young as zero all the way up to people in their 80s that are presenting at Anchor.
Even at 80, they're finding themselves homeless.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
Just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Anchor, both Lauren and Erin. We've talked a little bit about the older age, well, in fact, most of the age groups now, but what sort of seems to be driving homeless? And I know that we're talking about rents going up, and and you were talking about the working homeless. But, I mean, that's all been relative just the last 3 or 4 years. But homelessness has been around for some time. So what's one of the biggest drivers of homelessness?
Inadequate income, family violence, relationship breakdown, they're all a part of it. But as you said, sort of the trend that we've been seeing at the moment is the working homeless. And that's, like, it's a real worry. I think with the rising cost of living, rent increases are going up. And more what we're seeing out in the valley as well is rental properties are getting less and less. There, more Airbnbs are popping up, and people are just really struggling to even secure a place when they have the income.
So you're actually saying that some of these people, they're not, it's not as though they haven't got an income, and it's not as though they've really hit bad times. It's just they can't get anywhere to live full stop.
Yeah, correct. And then it's almost like a domino effect, because if you don't have anywhere to live, then your work gets affected, your children are affected.
Look, I might jump in there a little bit. We're seeing such an increase post-COVID too of that issue. So everybody who, you know, when the whole state went into lockdown over 20 and 21 and the start of 22, everybody who was situated in the inner city thought, stuff this, we want out, and have moved out to the valley.
Brought
up big, haven't they? You know, and you've got people that have sort of pushed themselves almost to the limit and overextended themselves in terms of a mortgage, but something that was manageable. But now with the impact of, you know, all the prices at Coles and Aldi are going through the roof, rents going up, interest rates are going up, and we're finding that these people who, and it's a trend seen, as I understand it, nationwide, we're seeing that all of these people who have overextended themselves during the COVID period are struggling to meet their mortgage payments, their electricity bills, and everything else at the minute. So it certainly is a huge issue. But to answer your question earlier, you know, what's been happening for years and years around, you know, around why people become homeless, it's a complex bucket of issues. There can be a lot of mental health in there. People can't sustain work if they're struggling with some significant mental health issues, depression, anxiety, and like Erin said too, drug and alcohol use. You know, you can't sustain a job if you're struggling with chronic alcohol issues. So many different things come into play when you talk about the reasons why an individual or a family might end up being homeless.
And I guess the other thing too that, and we've talked about this through a number of interviews I've done, there are a lot of people that are now unemployed that if COVID hadn't have come along, wouldn't have been unemployed. I mean, I think a lot of people thought that once COVID went, and it hasn't gone yet, but, you know, once it started to subside, that all those jobs have come back. But that isn't true, is it? Some of them just aren't going to come back.
No, that's mostly hospitality too, particularly in the Our Ranges. You know, we've seen so many cafes close down. I know that I live in Hillsborough, where your studio is, and we've seen a shift in what's available. Businesses that have started up, that have tried, that can't quite make it work. And also people have left the hospitality industry as well, haven't they? Really, because that was all shut down. So if you can't find staff, you can't run work. Can you?
Well, and so I know. Well, it's. In some ways, you'd think that anybody could get a job because, in some ways, every cafe that's going is still looking for staff, but they seem to be struggling too.
Yeah, I can see. You can see it a mile away, can't you? And there's not... What answer is there? There's not much of an answer out there.
Well, I'm going to take a quick break and then you better think, because I'm going to ask you something about what the answers are. And I know it's complex, but we're going to ask you particularly what Anchor are doing about it. So we're back in about 2.5 minutes.
Sure.
Sometimes I feel a little mad, but don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems, and I get my share. That's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, 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 baby, don't you know I'm human? Have thoughts like any other one. Sometimes I find myself long regretting some foolish thing, some little sinful thing I've done. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
I'm speaking to Lauren and Erin from Anchor, and we've been, and we are talking all about homelessness, because Homelessness Week is on next week from the 7th to the 13th of August. All right, so we've identified homelessness, and it's a huge area, and also there's not going to be one easy answer, I'll bet. But, I mean, obviously Anchor are going to, or are obviously already doing it, but they've also got some plans in progress and process, so who's going to tell us a bit about that?
I can tell you a little bit about what Anchor do. Yep. We have a program that helps with rent in advance and bond applications, so assisting financially. We assist in finding vacancies for boarding houses and caravan parks. We have a families worker who assists with keeping families out of rooming houses, who works intensively with those families on finding alternate accommodation or crisis accommodation. We also have a program that's called Rapid Response, which is in partnership with the Yarra Rangers Council, which basically provides a holistic health response to people rough sleeping. And what I say when I mean rough sleeping, I mean people who are living in tents, rough up in the bush. And that response looks like helping with doctors, nurses, food delivery, making sure they're warm enough, got blankets, sourcing referrals. Really just trying to create a holistic response.
All right, so you talked about that, about some people living in tents. How many people would you think are sleeping rough any night in the Yarra Valley? Are we talking 20, or are we talking, you know, 600, 700?
It's a hard one. I would say over the last sort of 12 months, we've had 54 official reports of that's sightings that the public have reported to the council on their report a rough sleeper portal that we have responded to, but there are many more, and we know that. We know that in the Yarra Valley, people are going further and further out, and they're in remote bushland, and they're not always seen. So it is 54 that we got notified of in the last year, but I would say that it's many, many more than that.
So why would, and I suppose, this is a pretty hard answer, why would they go into really remote areas? Are they ashamed, or are they frightened of sleeping out where they're seen, or what?
Well, I think it comes down to that's their community. People that are from the Yarra Valley want to stay in the Yarra Valley. They want to stay connected. They don't want to come down the line to Lilydale. They want to be around their supports, but also they don't want to be seen or bothered.
Don't they?
No, no.
Is that for mental health issues or embarrassment or what?
No, not always. They just, I guess it's a way that they can be living and not bothered, and they can sort of set up camp out there.
Some of those people, I mean, these nights, it must be terrible sleeping in a tent because, I mean, some of the people when they go away camping, I mean, let's be honest, they've got heaters and they've got all sorts of stuff, but A, out in the bush you couldn't have a heater, but B, you haven't got the dollars to buy some of this stuff, have you, if you're sleeping out in the tent?
No. No, that's right, Alan. And look, I think if you sort of bring it back a bit, these people are sleeping out there in tents and in cars, in old caravans, in abandoned buildings as well. We've got a few of those around the valley. They're doing that not only just for the isolation and the solitude of being on their own, but the reality is that there's pretty crappy options available for single male and female adults. Right. So your options when you're homeless as an adult without any dependent children around the valley are boarding houses or SRS accommodation. Now, a boarding house, for those that aren't aware, is like a shared house or a group house owned by somebody, and you pay what is a ridiculous amount for the lease of a bedroom. So you might be paying anywhere from $250 to $300 for one bedroom in a house.
Incredible.
And when you pile, say, four or five or six different people, and quite often it's a hell of a lot more, into one house, you've got a collection or a cluster of potential mental health, drug and alcohol issues, violence issues, all sorts of issues come together. So quite often it's not a safe situation to be in. So as somebody who, you know, if you were to think of yourself and what situation you'd feel comfortable being in, I'd probably prefer to sleep in a tent as well, other than a boarding house. So we do rely very, very heavily on our community, our local community, to fund and to provide us with good, solid, waterproof tents and swags, particularly over the Yarra Valley winter, where it can get down to freezing temperatures repeatedly. So we need down sleeping bags. We need canvas waterproof tents. We need little stove cooking things, like camping cooking things, because this is the only way that these people stay warm and sheltered.
Well, and I guess the other thing is too, I think you've touched on a really good point there about the little stoves, because if you haven't got any money, you don't want to be walking down to Macca's and all these places at night buying food. So I guess the only way to stay and, you know, you've still got to stay in existence is probably to cook your own food.
Yeah, I think Erin's probably got some really good stories because she's part of our rapid response team. And that program is designed, the Yarra Ranges Council fund us to deliver this service, and we've just been successful receiving funding again for another 4 years. Yeah. And so Erin and one of her team members head out on foot to visit the region's rough sleepers to make sure that they're safe and they're warm, and if there's anything they need And I know that, you know, I think, Erin, you could probably talk about this, but they've been reported that, you know, they're eating food out of tin cans and a fork because they don't have food, the way to heat their meals.
Sure. All right, look, I'll take another quick break. Erin, we'll get you to think about a little story you could tell us without naming anybody or yep. shaming anyone, and we'll just yep. hear how bad this is.
And now with the following collection of the Swizzy Sound.
Just once, I would let the bad luck on the door be open. Well, damn it, just get on over here. This better be the best thing I ever felt. My days, they better be sunny. Better be nothing but all that I want. Of them all, I can have anyone, throw what I want. Perfect, get it right, never wrong. So you gon' step it up, you gon' be gone. Nothing, nothing is typical. No chance, it's all gotta be official. Superhero.
Yes,
that always better be his response. Or I don't give a dog a bone. A chincha. Show me your skeletons. Let's not play games. We can be closer than sharing last names. The award is a book for heart. It could be yours. If you earn that medal, yep, you could be my boy.
Your message out on Yarra Valley FM through station sponsorship. Our listeners want to hear about your business so they can support you while you support us. We're a not-for-profit organisation run mostly by volunteers and serving our local community with an independent voice. We also give local people the opportunity to learn valuable media skills. Details of our sponsorship packages are on our Promote Your Business page at yarravalleyfm.org.au or call us on 5961 5999. And let us tell the Yarra Valley and beyond about your business.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Lauren, just before we talk to Erin, because I really want to hear about what she does, I guess Anchor would always love donations of either new or fairly new tents and swags.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we're constantly needing those really good heavy canvas tents. We're constantly needing, you know, those the warm sort of duck down sleeping bags, the ones that we get, as much as we appreciate any donations of any sort of sleeping bags. When you're thinking about these people sleeping out in the cold And, you know, this morning, being outside pretty early, as I was, it was 0 degrees.
Well, it's getting down to 2 degrees later in the week.
Yeah. So it's getting colder and colder. And if they've got already damp clothes from being outside anyway, you know, we've got to try our hardest just to keep them as warm as possible in the situation that they're in.
And I guess if people haven't got the tents and the swags, you'd be happy to accept cash, wouldn't you, to be able to go out and buy them?
Oh, of course. But I think vouchers for places like BCF, Boating, Camping, Fishing, Anaconda, any places that is relatively local to the valley that we can get to. And look, if vouchers are provided, then we can absolutely go and get them ourselves.
Yeah, terrific. All right, Erin, now, it sounds like a bit of a heartbreaking job, this of yours, if you ask me, but can you just give us a bit of an idea the sorts of conditions you find people in, please?
Yeah, sure. One example that really touches my heart, we have a rough sleeper who, due to family breakdown and due to sort of aging out of the youth stream, is living in a tent in the Yarra Valley. He has health nurses that come out and see him twice a week. He's got a number of physical health issues. He has extremely large sort of childhood trauma, and he just can't actually be around other people. So the options for him, he could potentially go into a boarding house, but he's choosing not to. He just can't do it. And so what that looks like for him is we drop food a couple of times a week to him, and unfortunately, you know, it is in cans, and he will eat it with a fork out of a can cold.
Terrible.
A few times his tent has been flooded out, and so every couple of weeks we're asking for donations to get new blankets, new sleeping bags, because they've all gone mouldy, and that's not healthy either, to be sleeping in those kinds of conditions.
No, not at all. What would, this is to both of you, which group would have the biggest homelessness problem? Is it youth, middle age, or you said you've even got a couple up to 80. Well, I presume they wouldn't be the biggest age group, but what would be the biggest age group, you would think?
I think in the Yarra Valley, there's not so much a biggest age group. There's a really wide demographic of people that we see that come through at different times of the year. I think one of the biggest concerns for Anka, I think, is the increasing rate of homeless young people. There are no crisis accommodation facilities anywhere in the valley for young people. The closest one that we have access to is in Ringwood. That's been there for a long, long time, but that only has a maximum of 5 or 6 vacancies at any one time.
Sure.
Then you have to go further into sort of Box Hill South, and then you're further into the city.
And you're taking them all out of there. Not so much a comfort zone, but people they know and
yeah, out of their community, and nobody wants to leave the community that they feel comfortable in.
No.
So you know, we try really hard to keep as many young people in the vicinity of their home, being the space that they've grown up in, as we can. Anka provides a lot of services for young people who are experiencing homelessness, and that's growing. And it will continue to grow. We deliver a youth foyer, a dispersed youth foyer, which is a program for young people who need stable accommodation to continue their education and access to careers. So we run that out of a few properties that we have access to in Lilydale, amongst many, many other services for young people that we deliver.
Because the problem is that if you don't let them get their education, then they're never going to get, I'm talking particularly young people, well, only young people here, if you don't give them the opportunity for education, they'll never succeed. So it's going to be a perpetual thing. They'll never be
That's
able to
exactly
get out of homelessness because they'll never
That's
have
exactly
a job.
Right.
All right.
Whereas if, yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
if we can intervene and offer them a different trajectory, then we're very, very hopeful, and it's been proven through the services that we provide that they won't sort of come back around the circle again into homelessness. You know, if we've had a lot of success with our young people through our foyer, going off to TAFE, going off to university, and starting the careers of their own, it makes us very proud to see that happen.
I'll bet. All right, we're going to take our last break. Look, when we come back, Lauren and Erin will give you all the contact details. If you want to give them a donation of a vouchers, which sounds like a terrific way to go. If you know somebody that's homeless, they'll tell you what you should do, and they'll also tell you how you can call Anchor. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Of course, that was a great Johnny O'Keefe. You can't take the rocker out of an old guy and sing, sing, sing your blues away. Anyway, enough of the reminiscing. I'm talking to Erin and Lauren from Anchor. All right, so first of all, somebody knows that they've or sees somebody that's living in the bush. They want to be able to try and help them out. How are they going to get, and also if people want to donate or find out more about Anchor, how's it all going to happen?
So if you see a homeless person or you want to report a homeless person, there is a form on the council's website. So fill that out with as much detail as you can.
Sorry, I don't want to cut across you, but that's the Yarra Rangers Council?
Yeah, correct, yep. And that then triggers a response from the rapid response team, and we'll take it from there.
Right.
Any donations would be awesome. We would really, really appreciate them. Tents, duck down sleeping bags, vouchers. Anchor's contact details are, the phone number is 9760-6400.
Give that again, please. 9760-6400.
The email is openingdoors@anchor.org.au, and we're located at the Box Hill Institute, Lilydale Lakeside Campus, Level 2, above the library.
Sounds good. So do you want to just give us those numbers all again? Like the phone number is 9760-6400. What was the website, please?
The website is anchor.org.au.
Yep. And the other one, that you gave us one straight after the phone number.
The email, openingdoors anchor.org.au.
All right, so, Erin, you must, apart from the one that you just spoke to us about when you're on this rapid response, I mean, there must be some terrible, apart from that person, there must be a lot of these must be terrible stories.
Yeah, they're truly heartbreaking.
Mm. Let's perhaps be a little bit more optimistic as well. Have you got some success stories too, or a success story you can tell us about?
Yeah, we do actually. We had a rapid response. The man was sleeping in his car, and then that progressed to sleeping in a tent. He had struggling with some drug and alcohol issues, homeless for a number of months. He's entered a treatment facility and has been there for a number of months. So that's a fantastic outcome. He's getting the help that he needs.
Yep. Do you find in these groups, like you're talking about that guy who sleeps in a car and these people in the state, do you find many of them actually have young children with them as well, like their own children? Or are they mainly just one person by themselves?
Look, usually it is one single person by themselves, but we have had families as well.
A whole family?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be tragic, wouldn't it? And, of course, the other problem is, apart from the fact that the adults are entitled to their own dignity as well, but it comes back to what we were saying before about the young children. If you take away their future by homelessness, well, it just is almost self-perpetuating, isn't it?
It is. It is, absolutely. I think we're trying really hard. I think that the children in that environment really can be quite forgotten. We're working very closely with a few other organisations, or we will be very, very soon, to offer a brand new program or a new service to the children of families who are experiencing homelessness and who come through our service. So that's quite a complicated program, but we have 119 children that are attached to families moving through our homelessness and housing support services at the moment, and along with some funding bodies and some other organisations, we're looking forward to be able to deliver a bit of a therapeutic practitioner to work with these children so that they're not impacted as significantly as they would be otherwise by their family moving through.
Well, we need to talk when that becomes available, don't we?
Absolutely, we do.
We need to hear a bit more about that, because, I mean, it's hard to imagine when some of us will go home tonight to air condition, or not air conditioning at the moment, but, you know, warm homes and a proper meal, to think that I think on about one night next week, Saturday or Sunday, starts off with 2 degrees in the morning, that, you know, it's hard to imagine that people are going to be just living in a tent at the middle of nowhere, freezing cold, and that then not even get up to a nice breakfast. It'll just be a cold can of baked beans or something.
Yeah, I think being in the industry and working in the homelessness sector for quite a long time, you sort of do develop a bit of a crocodile skin to all of the issues. But when you do see families walk through our front door and you hear the stories that they have to tell, and you see the hurt on their faces, regardless of what situation has got them there, it breaks your heart, and we try our hardest to do everything that we possibly can to help them. But sometimes there's just nothing available. There's no housing available. There's no funding available. And so we try to keep them safe, and that's the best thing that we can do. But, you know, resources are always in need.
Yep, and it's never going to get any better. As far as the resources, I'm not saying that the homelessness mightn't get a bit better, but resources are never going to get any better.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, unless we start delivering well over 6,000 new homes to the Victorian state every year, we're never going to catch up.
And that 6,000 isn't going to help with immigration either.
No, this is for our current This is for our current population.
That's going to get us into political debate. I don't want to do that because we're not here to do two politics. Look, Erin and Lauren, thanks for your time again. We'd love to hear more about this program when you get it underway.
And, brilliant.
Certainly, anybody who's listening that's got a few dollars, why don't you go down to Anaconda or one of those places, buy some cards, hand them over to Anchor because I'm sure they'll be able to use them. Thank you very much, ladies, for being with us today.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, bye.